Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Kuf Samach Gimel. We are holding on daf Kuf Samach Beis Amid Beis. We are at the last line of the page. Yibayiluhu Shnei Shitin Sha'amru. Today's share is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas' mother, Golda Basimcha Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives, as Yisrael return home safely. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So the Gemara, the entire daf today is going to discuss the Shnei Shitin Sha'amru, the two lines that we spoke about yesterday, that if you leave two blank lines between the Ksav of the Shtar and the Edim, that's going to be possible. So first we're going to talk about these Shnei Shitin. Does that include airspace that you would normally include the in between one line and the next, or does it not include that? Is it only the actual space that the writing takes up? What is the font size that is assumed in these Shnei Shitin, in these two lines? Is it the way that Sofrim write with such great precision, where they write in a tiny font size, or is it the way people write, where they're a little sloppier and they'll have larger lettering? The Gemara is going to discuss how wide a space is in fact Shnei Shitin in total, and we're going to have three different opinions about that. Then the Gemara is going to discuss what if these Shnei Shitin were not in between the Nusach of the Shtar and where the Edom sign, but it was between where the Edom sign and where the Kiyum of the Beis Din appears. So is that going to be equally problematic? We're going to have the opinion of Rav, as well as the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan about that space, where they both say it's not the same, but they go in totally opposite directions. So that's the entire daf. It's all about these Shnei Shitin that we've been talking about. The Shnei Shitin Sha'amru. So says the Gemara, Ibayilhu, Shnei Shitin Sha'amru, these two Shitin, these two lines that the Chacham said that if you leave them blank, if you leave them empty at the end of the Shtar is going to be puzzle. How precisely do we measure these Shnei Shitin? Do we say, Hein va'aviran, Odilma, Hein v'lo aviran? Is it the space of the writing of those rows themselves plus the avir that you would normally leave between one line and the next, and only if you leave two lines together with the space that you would normally have, the spacing you would normally have between the lines, only then is the shtar puzzle? Or do we say, no, it's hein v'lo aviran. It's even just the space that the lines themselves would take up without the spacing in between the lines. That would be enough to puzzle the shtar. So I'm Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Mistabra Dehein Va'aviran. It's mistaver that it's only going to be possible if the space that you left empty can fit two lines and the normal typical avir that you would have in between the two lines. Because if you're going to assume that you would passel the shtar with just the space that the writing would take up without the extra, the spacing between the lines, shita achas below avir lemaychazia. If you had only one line without any avir in between, so what would you be able to write there? How would you ever be able to be mezayef the shtar, the ella? So must be shmamina hein vaviran shmamina. So it must be that just like the heter of leaving one row is only when it's a shita ve'avira, it's that one row, that one line plus the avir. So too the psul of shnei shitin is when it's shnei shitin plus the avir. So that's the raya that we have from the Tosefta, that when we say shnei shitin is going to pasul, it must mean shnei shitin plus the avir, because the one line that we say is going to be ignored, because you could assume that people are just going to be mezayif and write whatever they want into that one line, that must be with the avir. Otherwise, there's nothing that you could have written in that one line anyway if it didn't have the avir. That is how Tosfos quotes from the Yesh Mefarshim. However, the Rashbam has a different girsa in our Gemara, and therefore a different explanation of the Gemara. The Rashbam does not have the word shita achas. Right? When the Gemara says that diisal kadai techein v'lo aviron shita achas below aviru l'may chazia, the Rashbam does not have that phrase of shita achas. Rather, what he has is diisal kadai techein v'lo aviron l'maychazia, that if you're going to say that the Shnei Shitin are hein v'lo aviran, l'maychazia, meaning why would the two rows, the two lines without avir pasul, they're not ra'ui to be mezayif, because if you want to write two lines in that space, you're going to have to write teeny tiny letters because you don't have the normal spacing in between the lines that you would normally have, and if you write large letters, you're not going to have space, regular letters, you're not going to have space between one line in the next. So the ziyuf is going to be nicker. It's going to be very obvious that you're trying to be mezayif. So it's not that we're bringing a raya from the case of shita achas, that shita achas must be be'avira, and therefore the shnei shitin must be be'aviran. No, we're bringing the shnei shitin. We're saying shnei shitin below aviran doesn't really help you anyway. You're not going to be able to write two lines. Now Tosos in their first explanation and Rabbeinu Gershom also say like the Rashbam, but they keep our girsa. They say the same pshat as the Rashbam with our girsa, that shita achas lemaychazia. They just leave out the words below avira, but they have shita achas lemaychazia, and they explain that the Gemara is saying that shnei shitin in regular writing without the avir is like shita achas in regular writing with the avir. So we should have been machshir this shtar because it's considered that you only left off shita achas. But if you write in that line two rows in a very tiny font, it's going to be very nicker that it was mezuyaf, because the font is going to be entirely different than the rest of the shtar. So that's how Tosfos understands in their initial interpretation. So three different kirsaos, and therefore three different interpretations of how exactly to read the Gemara. So that's one issue as far as these shnei shitin. Rabbi Shabtai Amar, when we say that if you leave two blank lines in between the nusach of the shtar and where the Edom sign, that means two blank lines where it would have been space for the way the Edom write to have two lines, meaning the way normal people write, velok savide sofer, but not two blank lines in the size that a sofer would write, because soferim are trained to write and they know how to write in very tiny letters. So when we talk about shnei shitin, it means regular people size shnei shitin, not savide sofer size shnei shitin. My timer, what's the reason? Because what's the chashash over here? We're going to be mezayif. If you want to be mezayif for shtar, you don't go to professional sofer to be mezayif the shtar, because he would never want to ruin his reputation. He's not going to ruin his chazaka as a sofer. So if one wants to be mezayif for shtar, they do so on their own. Now it's possible he'll go to a sofer to be mezayif. You know, it is not every sofer is so worried about his reputation. There are soferim that just could use the money. But that says the Yad Rabbah, that's a milsal shchicha. Milsal shchicha l'gazu b'rabbanan. This whole thing is a gezeira midrabbanan that we're afraid maybe a chashash of ziyuf. So the rabbanan only goes there on something that's a milsal shchicha, on something that's likely to happen, but something that's extremely uncommon, that's a milsal shchicha. So melechem only passel a shtar that has a space to be mezayif in normal person's handwriting, which is a larger writing, and not a space that you can only be mezayif with a sofer's handwriting, where the handwriting is much smaller. The Rishonim raised the question, well, why did the Chum say that we don't learn from Shita Achrona? They should have said that if the Shita Achrona is a ksiva biyad sofer, it's going to be kosher, because a person cannot be mezayif al yidei sofer. Meaning, we said yesterday, we just ignore the shita achrona. We ignore the last line of the nusach of any shtar. Well, why do we do that? If the last line of the nusach of the shtar was clearly written by a sofer, it was written in sofer handwriting, we shouldn't ignore it, because now we just said that sofer aren't mezayif. So the whole reason we ignore the last line of the shtar is because we're afraid that, you know, there's naturally a space left in between the end of the shtar and where the Edom sign, and someone's going to go be mezayif. But if sofer aren't mezayif and the last line of the shtar was written in the handwriting of a sofer, then there's nothing to worry about. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, well, you know, it's not an impossibility that a sofer is going to be mezayif the shtar. It's just not that common that a sofer is going to be mezayif the shtar. So mele, if you have a reyusa in the shtar and the reyusa is that there is no space whatsoever between the last line of the shtar and the chasimus ha'edim, so now that possibility, which was a remote possibility, becomes a lot less remote, because there's something wrong with the shtar. The shtar is shouting out at you that something is wrong over here. So then you're going to say, even though sofer typically will not be mezayif, and this shtar, even though it was written b'ksav yidei sofer, I'm still going to be somewhat choshish, I'm still going to be concerned that maybe they were mezayif it. That's how Rabbeinu Yonah learns. So now the Gemara says, we said that shnei shitin was hein ve'aviran, that it's the Shnei Shittin that are going to passel the shtar in between the nusach of the shtar and where the edim are is not only the space that the font size takes up, but the avir in between them as well. So Gemara says, and what is that space? V'kama. What is the shear of the revach of the space of Shnei Shittin with the avir? Right? How much empty space is going to passel the shtar? So three opinions. Opinion number one, Amr Rav Yitzchak ben Elazar, Kigon, Lecha, Lecha, Ze al gabe ze. It's like if you were to write the words lecha lecha one on top of the other. That each line you write lamed and chaf sofis, where there's a revach on top of the ksav in order to leave room for the lamed, because the lamed has something that protrudes upward, and there's also space below the ksav in order to write the chaf sofis, because that has that protrudes downward. That's the Rashbam writes. So Rabbi Yitzchak is not arguing on Chizkiya, who said that we look at the shuros b'ksavi de'edim v'lo b'ksavi de'sofer. He's coming to say the shear of ksavi de'edim that we're mishayer is in addition to the assuming the font size of ksavi de'edim of the way normal people write. So assuming a larger font size, you also have to assume the avir above it and the avir below it. However, Rabbeinu Gershom and the Ritva write that Rabbi Yitzchak is actually arguing on Chizkiya, and he's saying that we're mishayer b'ksavi de'sofer, but in addition to the actual space it takes to actually write the Ksav Yudei Sofer, we also leave our Avirin. We leave four separate air spaces for above and below each line, that the Lamed's got to be able to stick above each line and the Chafs have to be able to stick below each line. So it's a Machlokas Rishonim, whether this is a Machlokas already. But the Pashtus is like the Rashbam, that it's not a Machlokas, that we're just further defining, we're further refining our understanding of these Shnei Shittin. So we already said that the Shnei Shittin is Hein ve'aviran. So we know it's going to include the Avir. We said that the Shnei Shittin is normal people writing size, not Sofer writing size. And now, the first of the three opinions about how much airspace there is between the Shnei Shittin, it's got to be enough space for letters that protrude up and letters that protrude down, and the protruding up and protruding down letters shouldn't hit each other. They shouldn't encroach one on the other. So Alma Kasavra, so you see, Shnei Shittin v'arba'a avirin, that it's two rows of the writing itself, and space above the top row and below the bottom row, and the space above the bottom row and below the top row that leaves enough for a lamed to stick up and a chaf to stick down without them touching each other. So that's how large it has to be. So it says Gemara, Rabbi Chiya Barami Mishmedu Ula Amar Kigon Lamed Milamayla V'Chaf Milamata. That the shear of the revach that you need is to write the letter lamed on the top row and the letter chaf on the bottom row. Alma kasavar, so you see that he holds that the shear of the space is shnei shitin ushlosha avirin, that you need two rows of ksav, two lines of ksav itself, and a revach above the upper line, and one revach below the lower line, and in between the two lines, you don't need a double space. You only need one space. So because a mezayif could be careful that the yos lamed is not going to be bidiyuk right underneath the yos chaf. You just have to be careful in terms of how you space things. So you don't need to make sure that there's a double space, that it's double spaced in between the two lines. It could be single spaced, and you just be careful that a chaf on the top line and a lamed on the bottom line are not perfectly aligned with each other. And then the third opinion, Rabbi Avo says, Kigon Baruch ben Levi b'shita achas, that you need enough space to write Baruch ben Levi on one line, that the top of the lamed goes above the writing, the chaf goes below the writing. So Kasavar, Rabbi Avo holds that the shear of the space, the pasuls, is shita achas u'shnei avirin. Not like we've been saying until now, the first two opinions assume, yeah, it's going to be shnei shittin that's going to pasul. The question is, how much more in addition to the shnei shittin? No, shita achas with shnei avirin. That's enough to be mezayif and to fill in two lines, meaning the whole point is that if you left enough blank space that someone could fill in two lines, now you have a problem, because ain't the maiden mishita achrona, but if a person is going to write two lines, you are lemeidin from the second to last line. So with shita achas and shnei avirin, that's enough space to actually write two lines because of the shnei avirin. It would be a little tighter, but there's enough space to do that. Tosfos explains that the shear of shita achas and shnei avirin must be larger than shnei shitin without avir, because the first discussion we had was when we said that the shnei shitin are possible, is it be'aviran or below aviran? So we said it must be be'aviran, because without aviran you can't write two lines if you're going to have just the space for two lines without aviran. It's impossible. And now we're saying that shita achas with shnei avirin, you can write two lines. So it must be that one shita with shnei avirin is bigger than shnei shitin without any avir. That's what Tosos writes. However, the Rashba writes that Rabbi Avohu disagrees with Rav Nachum Yitzchok, and he holds that the shir is not behen uba aviran, meaning the shnei shitos is below aviran, and it's good enough to have one shita shnei aviran, and therefore you can't be medayik about the size. Meaning we had previously come to the conclusion that when we said shnei shitin, it's shnei shitin be'aviran, but who's we? It was Rabbi Nachum Bar Yitzchak who said that. Rabbi Avo is entitled to disagree with Rabbi Nachum Bar Yitzchak. So you can't be medayik like Tosos is being medayik, that it must be that shita achas with shnei avirin is more space than shnei shitin without any avir. No, they're just disagreeing. It's the same amount of space or less space, and they just disagree about how much space, how much blank space is going to ruin the shtar. So now the Gemara says, what if we adjust where those shnei shitin are? What if the shnei shitin are not in between the end of the nusach of the shtar and the edim, but the shnei shitin are after the edim, before the kiyum of Beis Din? So is that going to be a problem? So we're going to have two diametrically opposed opinions. One opinion is Rav. Amar Rav, lo shanu ela bein edim l'ksav. This idea that two empty lines is going to passel the shtar, that's only between the edim and the ksav of the shtar. Aval bein edim la'asharta, but between the edim and the kiyum that Beis Din does at the bottom of the shtar, afilu tuba nami kasher. Even if you leave a much larger space than shnei shitin, it's still going to be kasher. That you could have plenty of blank space in between where the edim sign and where the kiyum ashtar that the Beis Din is going to certify that shtar appears. So says Mar, well, maishna bein edim l'ksav. Why is it that we have a problem of leaving shnei shitin between the edim and the text of the shtar? Dilma mizayif because of my debay, because we're afraid that you're going to be mizayif and you're just going to add something into the shtar that was not in the original text of the shtar. You're going to add in a line, you know, and this guy owes me $1 billion, and it's going to look like part of the shtar. V'chasimi saadi, and it's not going to be nicker that it was mizuyof, and the edim are signed at the end of that shtar, and no one's going to realize that that was a later addition to the shtar. Well, by the same token, bein edim la shtar tanami mizayif because of my debay v'chasimi saadi. That you still have to be choshesh, that you can be mezayif and write whatever you want in that space before the chasimus hadayanim, and the dayanim are signed on the bottom of it, and they're being made that everything that's written there is correct. So including that which you just added with your ziyuf. So since in between the edim and where the dayanim are mekayim, you can have whatever you want also, and the dayanim are mekayim everything. So then that's also going to be a ziyuf, and it's also a chash ziyuf. Says the Gemara, when Rav says that if you leave two lines of space in between the edim and the asharta, that it's going to be kosher, that's only if the space is demetayit lay, that you are metayit, you're malachlech with ink the space in a way that you can't write anything there. But if you leave it mamish clean between the edim and the kiyum, then the kiyum taka is going to be possible. Tosus and the Rashba and the Ramban write that it doesn't mean that you fill the entire space with ink, because then you have a different chashash. Then you have to be choshish that maybe you're going to be mochek the entire shtar with the chasimos edim, and you'll fill the entire mechika with dio, and you'll write above the true shtar a new shtar that's mezuyof, and you'll be mezayif the chasimos of the edim, and you'll rely on the shtar mezuyof because of the kiyum that appears at the bottom of the page. Meaning, if you can be mitai it means to fill the whole thing with ink, you can now go refill the whole thing with ink and write above the whole shtar, a brand new shtar. So no, what the Gemara means is that you make little dots or lines of ink on top of the empty space in a way that you still see the parchment between the dots or between those lines that you made, and you see that nothing was ever written there, that nothing was written and then erased. Because if something could have been written and erased over there, and you wouldn't know the difference, then we have to be choshesh that you could have just redone the entire shtar by erasing things. So it must be metay. It doesn't just mean you fill it with ink. It means you put dots there in a way that it's obvious that nothing had ever been written there, and you're not leaving space for anything new to be written there. However, the shach is medayik from the Rashbam that you fill up the whole space with dio, and he says that's the lashon of tiyuta, and he says that it's difficult to say tiyuta means that you make little dots. The kash of Tosos, that Tosos says that how are you going to know that you weren't mezayif the whole thing? The shach says that doesn't bother me because we're not choshesh that you're going to be mochik an entire shtar, because since you're choshesh that the dayanim might remember the kiyum and they were never mekayim the shtar that you're mezayif, you're going to lose out the true shtar as well. I mean, who's being mezayif the shtar? The guy, the bala shtar, the one that has the shtar that says this guy owes me money or this guy sold me this property. So you wanted to say this guy owes me two times the amount of money. This guy sold me two times the amount of property. So to assume, says the shach, that the guy's going to erase everything it says in the shtar and risk writing a new shtar and risk that the dayanim who were mekayim the shtar will say, this isn't what we were mekayim, and then he'll have nothing. Then he won't have a shtar that says he was owed the original amount of money or the original land. So a person's not going to do that, says the shach. So even though Tosus is bothered, what's to stop a person, if you're filling the whole thing with dio, you're being metatea the whole thing with dio, what's to stop a person from erasing the entire shtar, filling it all with ink and writing above it? So what's to stop a person is you would never want to erase an entire shtar. It's too risky a business to go in and erase an entire shtar. Now, what's at issue over here between Tosfos and the Rashbam is really what the word really means over here. We're saying dimitayet lay. So does mitayet mean, right, the way the Rashbam understands, mitayet means you fill the whole thing with ink. Tosfos says that no, it means nekudos or shuros with a little bit of ink. I think Tosfos says that the lashon is Tosfos says that it's a lashon of medayet as opposed to metayet, that meaning the word is not a perfect word, because the Rishonim bring a raya from the discussion over here that there's a tshuva, there's a Piskei Ma'arit who discusses if you have a get in that where the name was supposed to be Constantine and they wrote Constantine with a dalet instead of a tes, whether that's kosher or not. So he says that the poskim already write that the confusion between a dalet and a tes is not called a shinui, because they're similar sounding letters. They both are the same part of your tongue produces a dalet and a tes in order to make those letters, and that's why he says, based on what we find in our sugya, that metayet is b'makom medayet, that it's all the same mifta, it's all the same thing. That's what he quotes a Truma Sodeshen on the city Rottenburg, that if they write Rottenburg instead of Burke with a gimel instead of a kuf, that's perfectly fine, because it's all the same mifta, it's all the same basic pronunciation. So the word might be medayet rather than metayet. You got speech therapists are familiar with these. Rabbi Reisman said that he always had a kasha, that it says in the Yerushalmi that when you say Kriya Shema, you have to be careful to say Leman Tizkeru, right? It shouldn't be tiskeru. It shouldn't look like that you're saying that you're that you're hiring Hashem, or you know that it's a schirus. It's tiskeru. It's a zechira. So he said he always he always wondered why does it first why does Yerushalmi only point out that just a pasuk earlier? The pasuk says uri isem oso uzchartem as kol mitzvos Hashem. Why doesn't it say be careful about uschartem, right? Instead of uzchartem, you might say uschartem. And in fact, some of the poskim say, yeah, Taki, you should be careful about that as well. But how did Yerushalmi miss something like that? How did Yerushalmi not get the earlier pasuk? So he said he thought it was like a gevaldik kasha in the Yerushalmi, and Chazal must have made a mistake, you know, that they missed something. So then a speech therapist came over to him and told him that no, this is the dogs and cats rule. And he said, what do you mean? And he says, yeah, every speech therapist knows that when you say the word dogs, you pronounce the S naturally as a Z. When you say cats, no one pronounces the Z as an when the S as a Z. It rolls off the tongue differently when based on what the previous sound you made was. So there was no concern by uzchartem. There's no taiva to say uskartem, but tizkaru comes off after a T. So it's a natural okay. So you have to so the poskim say that you have different letters that have different. So next time you want to question Chazal and you think that it's so obvious that they missed something, so it's most likely you should realize that you probably missed something. So that's what the poskim point out over here with the metayet, medayet, that really it's the same thing. So frak the gemara I hachi bein edim l'shtar nami metayet lei, that if Rav is saying this din in a case where it's where it wasn't blank space, you filled it in with dio, and that's why you're allowed to have a lot of space. Well, between the edim and the shtar, you could also have a lot of space then, as long as you fill it in with ink. How come? Meaning, what Rav is saying is, between the Edom and the Shtar, between the Nusach of the Shtar and the Edom, you cannot have two rows of space. But between the Edom and the Kiyum, you can have way more than two rows of space. Why can you have way more than two rows of space? Aren't you going to fill it? No, because you smudge it with ink, and therefore you don't have to have anything to worry about. Can't you do the same thing between the Shtar and the Edom? Just smudge it with ink and don't have anything to worry about? So, answers the Gemara, Amri Sahadi Atiyutahu de Chasimi. No, because people are going to think that the Chasimus Eidim is not actually on the shtar, that it's only on the smudged ink that you put there. They're going to think that the Eidim didn't sign on the shtar itself at all, and the whole shtar was just blank, and then you just filled in an entire shtar. That's how the Rashbam understands. The Ritva understands that it's dochak to explain that way, meaning, and he says that even if you say that the kavan of the Eidim was to sign on the shtar, but since there's a hefsik of tiyuta between the shtar and the chasimos, it's not that we think that Edom came and signed on a bunch of smudged ink. Right? Why would Edom do that? That's how the Rashbam understands. That's what the Gemara is saying, that if you have smudged ink before the signing of the Edom, so someone's going to think you presented Edom with a bunch of smudged up ink and they signed on it, and then you wrote a whole shtar above that. Why, says the Ritva, why would Edom do that? Why would Edom sign? No, it's just that it doesn't look like a shtar. Meaning, if Edom are signed not directly underneath ksav, they're signed underneath just a mess of ink. So that's not, it doesn't look like, it's like Edom signing on the reverse side of the shtar. It's just the wrong place. It just doesn't look like a shtar. So that's machlokas Rashbam and Ritva, how to read this Gemara. That Amri Sadi Atiyutu Hudachasimi. What is that concern? Where the Rashbam understands that people are going to think that when the Edom signed, there was no actual ksav of shtar there, whereas the Ritva understands, no, that it just looks weird, and therefore it's not a proper signing of Edom. So ask the Gemara, Bein Edom La Sharta Nami Amri, Beidina Tiyutu De Chasimi. Well, by that same token, if you have the Kiyum, the Shtar of Beis Din, right underneath a whole bunch of smudged ink, shouldn't you be Chosh? Doesn't that look bad also? Doesn't that look like the Beis Din was only Mekayim, the smudged ink, and then you could have written whatever you wanted above it? So Beidina Tiyutu De Chasimi. Says Gemara, Beis Din, they're Bekiyim. They don't just sign on random smudges, right? Beis Din is going to sign on something that's legitimate, but two Amaretz Edim, they'll sign on anything. They don't know what they're signing. I just got an email this morning from someone that lives in a different country, and he said that on Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel, you use the term Am Haaretz to describe someone who doesn't know how to learn. He said, how could you do that? That's so insulting. He said, some people don't have the same education that you have, but are very smart in other areas, or multiple intelligences. How can you use the term Am Haaretz? That's what an Am Haaretz is, meaning it's fine. I mean, nothing. I don't dislike you. I think everything is wonderful. But definition of an Am Haaretz is someone who doesn't know how to learn. So that's what. So these Eidim don't know anything. So they don't know how to assign a. I'm never sure how to respond to these without being even more insulting. So the Eidim are signed on the they sign on nothing because they don't know anything. So they'll sign whatever you put in front of their face. They're gonna sign on. So that's why there's a difference between Beis Din signing under the smudge and an Eidim signing underneath the smudge. So ask the Gemara why when there's even a larger space that has ink smudged on it between the Eidim and the Kiyum of Beis Din is the Shtar Kasher, Velecha, shouldn't you be Choshesh, Dilma Gayez Le'ela, that you might cut off the Nusach of the Shtar that's above, you're going to leave only the smudged ink with the Kiyum of Beis Din, and then, Umachak Le'Litiyuta, you'll erase the smudged ink, V'Kasav Mai Debayi, you'll write whatever you want in the place of the Mechika of what you just erased, Umachtim Sadi, and you'll sign Edim on top of the on where that Mechika was. And right after those signatures, there's going to be a Kiyum of Beis Din, meaning you were basically just given a signed check. You got a shtar that has a Kiyum of Beis Din underneath it. So you could cut off the actual nusach of the shtar that's way up on top of the paper, take all the area that has smudged ink, scrape off all that ink, and write whatever you want in that area and sign the Eidim Mezuyafim. You could sign Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck. And now at the bottom, it says that the Eidim, that Beis Din was already Mekayim, the shtar. So you'll be good to go. So Valmarav Shtarabahu Veda Valmacha Kosher, because after all, Rav holds that even if the entire Shtar with the Edim was written over something that was clearly a previously erased document, that's kosher. So if that's going to be kosher, then you have to be choshish for this, that might have actually happened. So says Gemara Hani Rav Kahana Demasla Mishmei Deshmuel Shapir. If you learn like Rav Kahana that it was never Rav who said that you could that a Shtar that's written entirely over a mechika is going to be kosher, that it was Shmuel who said that, so then I understand very well that Rav disagrees. Rav would say that such a shtar would be puzzle, that if you take all of the smudged ink and you scrape it off and you write a whole new shtar with Edim, Rav would look at that and say, puzzle, you can't write a whole shtar over a mechika. So then it makes a lot of sense that we don't have to be concerned for that. El Rav Tevyumi, Demasna Mishmei de Rav, Ma'ikal Neymar. But Rav Tevyumi, who said that Rav was the one that said that such a shtar is going to be kosher, so how are you going to be miyashiv this? Since Rav holds that a shtar that has the nusach and the edim on a mechak is kosher, how could you be machshir a shtar that has a lot of smudged ink between the edim and the kiyum? We have to be choshish that maybe you'll write whatever you want and you'll be mezayif the chasimos, and people will think that the kiyum was written on the chasimos mezuyafos. Now the Rashbam points out l'chora that kasha is not only on a case where there is a blank space in between the edim and the kiyum. Any shtar that has a kiyum, we should be worried about that. You could always be mochek the entire nusach of the shtar with the chasimus ha'edim and write a brand new shtar with chasimus mezuyafos. Meaning this kasha is not, it's not like, oh, smudged ink, oh my gosh, look what you could do with smudged ink. Anytime you have a kiyum basin on the bottom of a shtar, says the Rashbam, whatever's above it, you could, if a shtar that's written over an erasure is kosher, so whatever's above it, you could always erase and rewrite whatever you want, right? You could. So the kasha is on any case. Tosfos says that no. Why would the Gemara say Hani Chol Rav Kahana D'Masla Mishmei D'Shmuel? Even according to him, it would be a kasha because according to Shmuel, you'd have a problem. Meaning, the Gemara would not have said that if Shmuel was the one that held that writing over an erasure was okay, then I don't have any problems. Shouldn't you then have a problem with Shmuel? How did Shmuel say, you won't have a problem with Rav, but you'll still have a problem with Shmuel? It wouldn't be a Hanicha. So it must be that there's something unique about this case. So the Shach writes that a person does not erase an entire shtar, because it could be that he'll be caught with the Ziyuf by the Dayane Hakiyum. They'll say, we were never Mekayim this shtar, and then you'll lose both the Ziyuf and the original shtar. But a Tiyuta, there's a Chashash that you're going to erase the Tiyuta and write a shtar in its place. So what does he do? He carefully cuts off the shtar with the Edim, and then he takes this, so he has that, he puts that in the safe, so he has that just in case. Then he takes this area with Tiyuta and Akiyum Bezdin at the bottom, and he erases the Tiyuta, and he writes whatever he wants, and that's a very low risk proposition for him. That's the concern. That's what we're asking about. But to just take a regular shtar and erase the entire shtar because it has a Kiyum Bezdin on the bottom and write something new, if he ever gets caught, then he's never going to be able to collect his original amount of money. So a person's not going to take that kind of risk. That's how the Shach in Choshen Mishpat is metarets Tosfos is Kasha on the Rashbam. The Rashbam's Kasha on the Gemara and with the Ha'ara of Tosfos. Now says the Gemara Kasavar. So again, back to the Gemara. What we're asking is, if you hold that a shtar that shows up that was clearly written over something that was erased is a kosher shtar, why am I not concerned when you have a shtar, tiyuta, chasimas edim, that you're going to cut off the shtar, erase the tiyuta, and write whatever you want, and now you'll have a chasimas adayanim on the bottom? So Kasava, Rav holds that even though any shtar that comes with us, that comes in front of us, that has a kiyum, you could be mekayim in one of two ways, either through the chasimas edim or through the chasimas adayanim, it's true that Rab said that if you have a shtar that's written over a previously erased parchment, that shtar is going to be kosher, but the only way to be mekayim that shtar is with the chasimus ha'edim. You cannot be mekayim, you cannot accept such a shtar just with the chasimus ha'dayanim on the bottom of the shtar, only with the chasimus ha'edim. So therefore, the kiyum bezin is going to do nothing for you. Okay, all of that was Rab's shita. Again, Rab was the one who said that Shnei Shitin, the magic number of Shnei Shitin, is only between the Nusach of the Shtar and the Edim. But between the Edim and the Kiyum Bezdin, you could have a lot more space. And we just made the Ukimta, presuming that you fill that space with Tiyuta. Rabbi Yochanan says the exact opposite. Rabbi Yochanan, lo shanu elabein Edim l'ksav. The whole idea of Shtei Shuros is only between the Edim and the Ksav. Aval, bein Edim la'asharta, afilu shita achas pasul. But between the Edim and the Kiyum of Bezdin, even one line is going to passel the whole star, and even if you metayate that one line, it's going to passel the whole star. Well, Maishna bein Edim lasharta dilma gaizli loy because of who ve'edav b'shita achas v'ksav k'shtar haba who ve'edav b'shita achas kosher. Why is it that one line in between where the Edim are and where the Kiyum Bezdin is going to be passel? Because I'm afraid you're going to cut off the whole star. Now you'll have one blank line where you can write whatever you want. You can write a whole Reuven owes me a gazillion dollars, signed Donald Duck, Mickey Mouse, and that's it. Now you have a Kiyum Bezdin right underneath it, so you can fit the whole shtar in one line. You have a Kiyum Bezdin underneath it, and that's what I'm concerned about. Well, Iachi, if that's the case, when you leave just one line, Bein Edim L'Ksav Nami, shouldn't you be concerned about the space, even one line of space between the Nusach of the shtar and the Edim? Dilma Gaizei Lilai, maybe you'll cut off the entire Nusach shtar because of my Dibay V'Chsim Yisadi, and the one line that you're left with, you'll write the same thing we just said. He owes me a gazillion dollars, sign two people, and it'll all be in one line. So Kasav Shtar Abba, who b'shitachas, ve'edav b'shitacheres, pasul. Rabbi Yochanan holds that a shtar that's written in one line and the Edim are in the next line is going to be possible, because the shtar that's written, because every shtar, the shita achrona of the shtar is ignored. So even though enochinami, if you have if you had the kiyum based in at the bottom and you put in one line an entire shtar with Edim, so that's all in one line, that would be kosher. But if you have one line of shtar and then the next line of Edim, that's possible. because the next line of Edim is right below the one line of Shtar. That means that one line of Shtar is the last line of Shtar, and we don't listen to the last line of a Shtar. So therefore, I'm not going to be concerned about one line in between, one blank line in between the Nusach of the Shtar and the Edim, because there's nothing you could do with that if you want to utilize those Edim. But I am concerned about one blank line in between the Edim and the Kiyum Beis Din, because then you could put the Edim on the same line as the Shtar, and you'll have a Kiyum Beis Din at the bottom of that. So I asked the Gemara, why are we Machshir Shtar that's written together with Edim on one line? The Edim, the Chasum, and the Shtar normally leave a blank line, we said before, and that's why we don't learn from Shita Achrona. So how can we say that if you put it all in one line, including with the Edim, that that's good? V'leichosh Dilma Kasav Hu Ve'edav B'Shita Achas. So they wrote that he and his Edim all are Mezayif on one line, and even though it's going to now be four Edim on the Shtar, the two that he was Mezayif and the two that signed on that one line, Va'amar and all the rabbis be'edim u'davdi, he'll say, yeah, but I just added extra Edim, and there'll be Mekayim the Shtar Mezuyof from these the true Edim. So shouldn't you be choshish for that? Meaning in between the Ksav and the Edim, the Nusach and the Edim, can't you put in a line with two Edim? So you'll have those two Edim plus the two Edim beneath it. There'll be Mekayim it with the two Edim beneath it, and the Shita Achrona will be listened to because it has Edim on the same line. So Kasavra Kolki Agavna in Mekayim Nusach Mina Edim Shalamata. Now, whenever you have such a situation, you cannot be Mekayim with the bottom Edim, El Min Edim Shalamaylo. You would only be able to be Mekayim the Shtar with the Edim that are on top, that are on that one line, and those are Edim Mizuyafim, so we don't have to worry that that's going to be something that would be a Shtar Mekuyam. Okay, but from tomorrow, we'll pick up two lines from the bottom at Gufa. Everyone have a wonderful day.